Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we give you praise and honor and glory. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we get ready to receive again the Christ child into our lives, we thank you for this gift, this indescribable gift of God. We thank you. We pray that you'll be with us now, among us here in this place. Let your Holy Spirit be upon us and among us. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives, into our homes, and into our church, and certainly into our world. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with all of your quickening power and reign supreme. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Did you call me? You know that it is Advent and going to be Christmas, and that's why we are so out of sorts. Everybody has been very busy. And I'm making decisions on the spot. But thanks be to God for grace. When you believe that you think you could do this all without the Lord, you cannot. Things are happening moment by moment. But here we are. What an exciting time it is. Here we are. We are getting ready. And some of us are getting so ready, we are weary. Aren't we weary? Weary for going to parties. And nobody here is going to parties, are they? Of course we are. Going to parties, going to dinners, shopping, packing boxes and gifts for this one great story. Today someone mentioned in our Bible study that they work at a place and there were some folks who are not Christians who were talking about Christmas. You know, there were Muslim folks who were talking about Christmas and getting Christmas gift and Christmas bonuses. And the comment was made that, you know, they want Christmas bonus, but they're not following Christ. And I said, that doesn't matter to folks anymore. We are the Christian believers. We are Christian believers. We must keep Christ in Christmas. That is our responsibility. But Christmas has become as secular as many of the other holidays are secular. We're just praying that Easter doesn't become that way. But Christmas is for everybody. Now it is. There are folks who never go to church, never worship Jesus, who are celebrating Christmas. Because it's the gift given of Christmas they're celebrating, not the Christ of Christmas. But we should be celebrating the Christ of Christmas, shouldn't we? Because as my sermon title today says, Christmas came about because of God's unfailing love. God's unfailing love for humanity. I read this brief reflection which was titled, When History Changed. When History Changed. Whether he was born in 4 BC or AD 6, in Bethlehem or Nazareth, whether there were multitudes of the heavenly host to sing the glory of it, or just Mary and her husband when the child was born, the whole course of human history was changed. Art, music, literature, Western culture itself, with all its institutions and the Western mind's whole understanding of the world changed. It is impossible to conceive how differently things would have turned out if that birth had not happened whenever, wherever, however it did. And there is a truth beyond that. For millions of people, we have believed since the birth of Jesus made possible not just a new way of understanding life, but a new way of living it. The bird of Jesus changed the world. Whether we dispute it or not dispute it, one of my confirmants yesterday said, as we were trying to wrap up our time, and we are confirming them in Advent, the early church at one point did confirm in the fall, you know, because you became members for the new year, so we are following that tradition this time around. And she said, you know, we were talking about making a little summary of the Old Testament and the New as they were wrapping up. And the little young person, 12 years old, she says, can you, Pastor, if they had behaved themselves in the Old Testament, then Jesus wouldn't have to come in the New Testament, would he? Right? In our simple mind, right? If the people had did what God said in the Old Testament, then Jesus wouldn't have to come and die in the New Testament. Isn't that true? But we did not. And Christ had to come. And so here, the perfect gift. One writer says, who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that God gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. That God gave this beautiful gift to us. Paul, Apostle Paul would say, the indescribable gift of God. We cannot describe it. And if we were to say to people who are not Christians, remind them that this Christian story is about Christ coming into the world to die for us. And if we really were to break it down for them, what do you think would happen? Would they be celebrating Christmas the way they do now? God's unfailing love for us. And so we celebrate it. We have the bells. I don't know if some of you heard on Facebook. I put something late last night. I saw a thing from Ray about the bells of the caroling. It was playing. You know, it had not played since we got hit by lightning. And then it played last night. Is there a God or what? Right? We have the caroling that plays beautiful Christmas carols, and it wasn't playing for a while, and because it got hit by lightning, and then come David, 2 days, a couple of days before Christmas Eve, it's playing and it's playing Christmas carols for the world to hear. It is so marvelous. God works in mysterious ways. God works in ways that we don't even understand. And so we've got the bells playing and the carols singing and the gift given and all the excitement, and we're getting ready. You know, I'm dress born. You, all of you men may not know, but the women know dress born. I get texts from them minute by minute telling me that there's a sale. Every time my phone beeps, I look down. I'm going to try to figure that out now to make it stop beeping. Are you beep? And it's a text telling me there's 50% off something. Then 2 hours later, there's another beep because I haven't shown up, so they know. And there's another text, and I get tempted. I says, I've got to get over there to see. It's 75% now. I'm hoping by the next beep tomorrow it will be for free. Because they want me to come shopping. Come on, aren't you getting it on your phones? Beep, Walmart. Even Walmart is beeping me. Because why? Because time of Christmas. And then I heard on the news last night that they say there was Super Saturday. I did not even know there was Super Saturday. Yes, there is. And they says it may beat out Black Friday by $34 billion they think people have spent. My Lord, do you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, these people I died for, they're doing well. $34 billion. Right? Yet still, in the midst of all of that, there are people suffering. In the midst of all of that, there are people in pain. Yes, but we do rejoice. We do rejoice in knowing that we know Jesus. It is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? This time of Christmas. Yet we must remember that it's because of God's love for us. And we see that text in Isaiah. It is a very difficult it's always a short reading that I took from the lecture. It is very difficult because some argue that it does not point to the Messiah. Right? But Matthew would put it in his text for today. that it doesn't point to the Messiah. It really was pointing, talking to a people, the people of Israel, and telling them that hope would come. But for us who are Christian believers, we know it points to the one who would come, Jesus Christ, to the Messiah. And here's what the text says. It says, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, the king, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as hell or high as heaven. Ask a sign. Let it be deep. Ask God for a sign. You know, we normally shouldn't ask God for signs because we may get a sign we really don't want. That's what happened to Jephthah, another story in the Old Testament. But Ahaz says, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. It is too little for you to weary mortals, that you are so weary, and you've also made God weary. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel. Right? And that is Isaiah 7. And so the promise was made. We believe the promise, and he shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse evil and choose good, the land before those two kings you are in dread will be destroyed. So we hear the promise to the king, the promise that even though they had been going through hardship, the child would be born. That's why we have that great Isaiah text in Isaiah 9 that says, for unto us a child is given, right? Unto us a child is born, and he shall be what? Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. That great promise, right? And it says, on him the whole world will rest. And who would accomplish it? The zeal of God will accomplish this. It's the zeal of God. You know what the zeal means? The jealousy of God. That God would be so jealous that humanity, and that is a character of God that we don't think a God would have, but so much of humanity, God had given free will and choice to all of us, and humanity had been what? Turning away from God, doing more evil than good, disobeying God. And the zeal of God was going to send the answer, the one and true answer to save the world. And his name would be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. What a story. You can't even tell this story. This story, sometimes you wonder why people don't want to believe it, because it seems so impossible. But we remember what Mary says, is there anything impossible with God? The angel says, is there anything impossible with God? No, there is nothing impossible with God. And so we would see in the text that the plan of God to save humanity was because of God's love for you and for me. For all of humanity, unfailing love, love that can never fail. I know this time of the year is very difficult for folks who have lost loved ones recently, and we have that blue Christmas time where people are grieving the loss of loved ones, because things have happened and it's so bad, and so they're not as joyous as some of us are, right? But the hope, we can give them hope. The hope in Christ that God loves them. No matter what we're going through today, we know that God loves us. And do you know how we know that God loves us? Because he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, friends. Jesus was born to die for you and for me. He was born into this world. God would wrap himself in human clothing, and would the scripture says, and Mary would have been what? Impregnated by the what? The overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And God would come into our human life and give us the hope of eternal life. What a story. There is no other religion that have that story but our story. Do you know that? We're unique. We're peculiar people, we Christian believers. And so we see Zechariah's song. Some have said Zechariah copied Mary's song, or they shared it. Whatever it is, those are the womanist theologians who have said that, and it could be true, because you know we tend to believe the woman does it first and then the men follow. That's not true, men, it's not true. But that's what we say in seminary all the time. But whoever Mary sang it first or he sang it first, this song is a wonderful song because it tells us the whole story. He says, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed is the Lord of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. God looked favorably upon us and redeemed us. Redeemed us. This is why Christ came. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old. And so we hear Zechariah now talking about a God who would what? Redeem his people. This was the plan of God. Isn't that amazing that God would have you and me on his mind to send Jesus Christ? This is why we should be rejoicing at Christmas time. You and I, Christian believers, we should be singing hallelujahs. We should hear the bells play. All right? Someone in Bible study said, I don't like to hear those Santa baby songs and so on. And I said, those are just songs. But we have the great Christmas carols that tell the story. They are not carols, they are songs. Right? And so the people could sing the Santa baby and buy me the Santa baby song. She wants a fur coat and a limousine and whatever else. But we know that we have the gift of Jesus Christ. Christmas for us, if we don't get another gift wrapped up in a box and in a paper or whatever it may be, we have the gift of Jesus Christ, which is what? Eternal life. Church, we need to say thank you, Jesus. Can you say that with me? Those of you who are verbal, some folks are nonverbal, right? Thank you, Jesus. The ones who are verbal, you know, you have nonverbal and nonverbal worshipers, and that's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. That God so loved the world, his unfailing love. When I think of God as the creator of the universe, if we truly believe that, and then God would think of little me, or little Joanna, or little you, and says, you know, I want to have a fix for this thing. I want to give each and every one of you here hope. Hope that Christ loves us. Hope that he cares. So I'm going to send my son, born to save us. What a story we have to tell the world. It is God's unfailing love for us. I don't know about other religions if they have a God who loves them like our God, the true and living God. I don't think there's any other religion who talks about the love of God. Some religions just talk about the punishment of God. And we know that God, yes, can be heavy-handed and punish us. We know that things happen. But in the midst of all of that, God loves shows forth to save us. I'm rejoicing today because I follow a Savior who loves me. The song says, love came down at Christmas. Love excelling. Love divine. This precious love of God. And so during this Christmas season, as we begin, as we finish Advent and the hard stories of Advent, Advent tells us that we should repent. We should receive Christ in our hearts. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, it is about love. Love, what the world needs now is love, but we already have that love, friends. No one can take it from us. That love that God would shower on us because he loves us. Did we deserve his love? No. Did we have to do anything to earn his love? No. It's by His grace. His love was grace-filled love, unmerited favor. We couldn't work to get it. We can't pay for it. We can't buy it in a store. We can't wrap it in a box. His love is freely given for you, to you, and to me. Freely given. So if you don't feel loved today, if you have no one to buy you a gift, if you feel lonely, I just want you to tell you that Jesus loves you. Loves you beyond words and thought. Love you so much that He says, if you call on me, I'll answer and I'll show you new and mighty things. So the love of God is unfailing love. Would send the one who would die to save the world. And Zechariah knew that. And so as he begins to sing, he goes on, he says, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a way of peace. We who are sitting in darkness, light came in the world. On Christmas Eve, we're going to celebrate that light that would pierce darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And so as I close, it says, I have this short, it says, what is so amazing in that when God does come among us, whatever God's hurt or indignation, whatever we feel, God comes not with violence, but with a child. God comes, God showed us how vulnerable He would be by coming as a child in Jesus Christ. He didn't come as a soldier. He came as a loving child, vulnerable to us, understanding our hurt, that we may receive Him and not fear Him. Do you know why God came as a child? So that we would receive Him and not fear Him. Because who among us fear children, fear babies? We don't. We receive Him. So on this last Sunday of Advent, I invite you to recall the images shared through the season. The images of what? Hope. The hope of Christ. The hope we have in Christ. The peace that Christ gives us, second Sunday of Advent. Christ says, through Jesus Christ, He says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. The peace of Christ. And then we have the joy in Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? Not the things I have, but the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is our strength. And then the fourth candle of Advent is love. The Bible in miniature. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, will not perish, cannot perish. Oh, glory to God. We cannot perish, but have the hope of eternal life. And so we could say, as the song says, oh, come, dear child of Mary, come. God's word made flesh within our earthly home. Love stir within the womb of night. Revenge and age, a hatred put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, take heart, and do not fear. God's chosen one, Emmanuel, draws near. Aren't those wonderful words? He draws near. Time is coming. And so, the true Christian religion does not begin at the top, as other religions do. It begins at the bottom. You and I must run directly to the manger and the mother's womb. Embrace this infant and the virgin's child in your arms. And look at him, born, being nursed, growing up, going about in human society, teaching, dying, raising again, ascending above all the heavens, and having authority over all of us. That is Jesus for us today. The one. What a glorious story, Christian believers, we have. God did not send the king from the top, but he sent a baby in a manger so that we would draw closer to this baby. Thanks be to God for his unfailing love for us. Amen and amen.